Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. It is one of our favorite shows of the year. Every January, we talk to Bill Crowley at UMW about the Great Lives lecture series. Bill, it is just an honor and great to have you back. I can't believe it's been a year since we've talked.
Well, Ted, great for you to have me, and I look forward to it every year. As you say, it doesn't seem possible years past, but anyway, it's good to be back.
And it doesn't seem possible that, what year is this now for Great Lives?
This is the 17th year.
Yeah.
And I would never have believed when we started out that it would last that long. I mean, we didn't even know if it would last at all. We just started it out as a class and open to the public, and then it just grew. So here we are.
It grows and grows, and sometimes it's standing room only in Dodd Auditorium.
Yes, occasionally that room seats a lot of people. It probably seats, counting the balcony, 1,200 people. So I mean, that's a huge crowd. But we've had it. I think the lower section is about 1,000, and we have had over 1,000 people occasionally. But average, I don't know what it averages, but most every time the auditorium looks full. Since we moved to that big venue, we don't have to turn anybody away, but it can be crowded. Not crowded, but it looks full, which is good. And I think sometimes it actually startles the speakers to look out and see such a huge crowd, because many of these people are academics, professors that are used to lecturing to classes, and they don't necessarily expect to see 700-800 people in front of them.
Well, the other thing, I think this is good for them. Well, a couple of things. It shows, even with all of our technology today, people still do appreciate and like to sit down and read or listen to biographies.
Yeah, I think biography has been generally shown to be the most popular venue of history, or the most popular form of history, not necessarily among professional historians, but among the general public. People like to hear about people because they can identify with it better than they can perhaps with larger movements and theories and so forth. So they're attracted to stories about people.
I know one of the questions I'll always hear, because especially with some of these, I look at these and I know people that are interested in certain of these subject matters, and so I'll tell them, and you always hear, well, how come they only do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Mm-hmm. And you have to explain to people it's a college class,
and so that's when the class meets, on Tuesday and Thursday nights, and so they all have to be on Tuesday and Thursday. Otherwise, we might not do them that way. It sort of restricts us in scheduling to some extent when we have to tell people that they're the only options. But usually it works out.
Yeah. It must be really fun to be able to put something like this together.
It's a tremendous amount of fun. And we usually work a year, 2 years in advance. People frequently ask me, how do you come up with these names? When are you going to give out of topics? And I tell them, we never give out of topics, because things that, new books are coming out all the time, new interesting people have been written about, and even some that we've done previously, after the passage of a number of years, we may do them again. I always do this against the advice of my wife, who says, don't do them over. But, I've checked sometimes, and if a person did go to a lecture in the early part of the series, say 04, 05, 06, mm-hmm. or even more recently than that, they may not remember, or it may be a new approach to the topic. So we sometimes do them over. I'm not sure that we have any this year. I'd have to think about it. I don't believe we have any that we've done before. Now, what we do have return speakers. Sometimes we get speakers that we think are particularly good, and we'll try to get them back to talk on a different topic.
Well, and the other thing that I've noticed over the years, like you say, I think just because of the times and all, just their approach of how these authors, sometimes they'll include visual things. Or the way they present it, it's not always just a straight lecture like used to be.
No, it's not. In fact, I encourage them to use PowerPoint or some what we used to call audio visuals. Mm-hmm. The term may be dated, but I think that helps in most cases. Now, on the other hand, I'll have to tell you, one of the most compelling speakers that we've ever had is a person who had no visuals, no audios, in fact, didn't have any notes. just talked and just was engaging. I mean, you know, people can, if they can spin a good story, you don't necessarily have to have it backed up by. On the other hand, I do encourage topics that, say, for example, if they're a music topic, then I do encourage. We have one of the few distant performers. Yeah. We've had a couple of people who talked about performers and didn't play much or any of the music, and I think people were sort of disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I remember a few years ago when you did Matthew Brady, and that to me was just fascinating, looking at some of his pictures and explaining certain things.
Well, sometimes if you do Matthew Brady, you're almost obliged to use pictures, and the same is true of, what's the fellow's name, the famous Ansel Adams.
You're right.
With all the wonderful photography out in West, and the speaker on that did have some terrific photographs. So sometimes the topic just demands that you do it.
You get to meet a lot. The opportunity to meet some of these authors.
Right, and that's probably, for me personally, the greatest thrill of it, the greatest satisfaction of it, that I've gotten to meet so many of these absolutely first-rate scholars, writers, speakers, who are almost invariably personable, engaging people individually. And we've had very few over all those years. And we've done, Ted, I think, something over 300 topics. So that's a lot of different speakers. Now, some of them are return speakers, but still I've met an awful lot of these people. And almost without exception, they are terrific people to get to meet and to talk to.
It often comes up when we. I don't know that there's anybody that jumps out this time, but sometimes whether it's Hitler or somebody like that, just some real awful people, and you always have to explain.
Yes.
You're not talking about great lives personally, but we're talking great lives in a societal stance.
That's right. Our great doesn't necessarily mean good. In fact, we have at least one this year that I certainly, personally, wouldn't consider having had a good influence on history, but he certainly had an influence on it.
Yes, I know, yeah.
And you may know who it is.
Yep.
We'll talk about it. But that's something I think is misunderstood. But still, it seems to be the best and most convenient title. I mean, you could have it a more extensive title with that explanation in it. These are not necessarily good people. But, what are you going to do? So I think great covers the waterfront. I think maybe better would be influential, but still, Great Lives has a little bit of a ring to it.
Oh, it does. It makes it big. I would think that it's gotten maybe a little bit easier just as the lecture series grows in stature to get some of these people. Because I know it was kind of difficult.
That's true. Now, in fact, it's not uncommon for a new published author to contact us asking to be in the program. I mean, I don't mean it happens every day, but we do get those inquiries, and sometimes we follow up on them. Sometimes they're not, I think, worthy of, at this level. But certainly we're known, and it is fairly common for a person upon receiving an invitation to say something to the effect, "I'm so flattered to be asked to be in the Great Lives program."
Wow. Bill Crawley in with us this morning. It is the Great Lives Lecture Series. It's from January 21st through April 14th, and we're going to run down the series and talk about each one. Every year, you usually have a local flavor, whether it's somebody connected to the university. I guess that Dr. Seuss this time is your Brian J.
Right.
Jones has been
that's
with
correct.
You in the past.
That's
before.
Correct. That's the one that most people will remember from his previous association with us in the Great Lives program, and has given several lectures in the series in the past on biographical subjects that he's done. This year he's doing Dr. Seuss, and the book has gotten terrific reviews, and Brian is a very animated and engaging speaker, so I think people will, number one, like to see Brian back, and number two, they'll enjoy that topic.
Yeah, and we're gonna run through all the topics. How do you ever pull all of these, because like you say, you probably, when you start out, have a list way longer than this, and then you have to pare it down on who can come.
That's
and
right.
Who makes it affordable.
No, I was going to say, let's be frank, it's who we can afford.
Yeah.
Although, with many thanks to the local donors and the local businesses that have supported us, that, and, of course, our original benefactor, John Chappell, it's because of their generosity that we can do this. Because I think the people in the audience generally probably do not realize how much these speakers charge. Now, it runs a gamut. I never figured out what the average is, but it runs. Yeah. Occasionally we'll have one who does it gratis or just for expenses. That's pretty rare. Then sometimes we just have to eliminate some possibilities. Some I don't even ask because I happen to know what their fees are, and they're stratospheric, way out of our ability to pay. But then many of them who are normally pretty expensive do give us, I guess you'd say, a discount just to be in the program and because they like the association with the series. So, but that's the thing. Now, so as a practical matter, we have to consider who we can pay for. And several in my mind who will go nameless, people would like to have them, I'd like to have them. But we can't yeah. afford them. But then once you get past the practical matters of paying for them and so forth, it's to try to put together a schedule, a lineup that's diverse, that has, but by diversity, a lot of times today we think of racial diversity and gender diversity, and we try to do that too. But diversity in terms of field of accomplishment and time period and so on. So that's my guiding principle, to be diverse or eclectic. And so there's something that in the series that will probably appeal to most everybody.
Bill Crowley here this morning, umw.edu/greatlives to get the whole series, and you'll get the whole schedule coming up. And when we come back with Bill Crowley, we will start running down the Great Lives Lecture Series at UMW. It begins January 21st, runs through April 14th on Tuesday and Thursday nights. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bill Crowley here this morning from UMW. It is the Great Lives Lecture Series that begins on January 21st, and we'll run through the rest of our time here, Bill, and talk about each one of these. Ronald Reagan on January 21st. Craig Shirley is the author. I just realized, or just found out recently, because he's written a book now on Mary Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
He lives in the Northern Neck.
Right, he lives in Tappahannock, and is a wonderfully personable fellow. I've gotten to know him a little bit, and you're right. His most recent book is on Mary Ball Washington, and sometimes people have said to me, "With that case, why don't you have him talk about her?" Well, I hope maybe we will next year, but it came out too late. It just came out this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was way too late to include it in this year's series. But he's going to be talking about Reagan, for which he's best known. I think three or four volumes on Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sure would be considered the preeminent Reagan scholar. And so that he's going to talk about Reagan. Maybe Mary Washington next year.
Well, and you think of Ronald Reagan, and you think as we look at history, and especially as you look at history as time goes on, about what a pivotal person he was in American history.
Right, maybe not appreciated so much at the time as he appears to be in hindsight. Of course, any time you do a political figure, you're going to have disagreement of opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody would consider Ronald Reagan a great life, but he was influential. I don't think anybody could deny that.
That starts off the series. What a way to start the series off!
I think it's a great start,
because in talking to him about the Mary Ball book, Mary Ball Washington book. Boy, he's a dynamic and a great speaker.
He is dynamic, yes.
January 23rd, Tiger Woods. Won't that be interesting?
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think that those first two are pretty good examples of the diversity we have, going from Ronald Reagan, the political leader, to a preeminent sports figure, although they are more or less contemporaneous, I mean, mm-hmm. same time period. Well, the Woods book is a really interesting biography. Jeff Benedict and Armin Katayan wrote that together, and Jeff Benedict is going to be our speaker. I tell people not altogether facetiously that if you like Tiger Woods, don't read the book. And it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it comes off as, a preeminent athlete, probably the greatest golfer in history. And if you narrow your focus only to golf, then he certainly would be considered great. And that's what he himself did do, according to this book, focused totally his whole life on golf, neglecting perhaps some of the social amenities and so forth. So and personally, he didn't always behave in a particularly admirable way.
And I think that that's what makes this, because I've read parts of this, and it is. It's a tough treatment of him, but it has often been said by people I know who covered him in the sports world that as great a golfer as he was, he was not nearly as good a person.
No.
And it comes across in this book.
And it does, and I think what they do, and what Jeff Benedict and Armin Katayan do a good job of, is explaining why that was, and if you understand his background, how he was reared by two parents who had a single-minded focus for him, that was to be the greatest golfer ever, which he became, but as I say, probably to the detriment of maybe some social skills.
Those first two. I mean, I think
that's
that
a pretty good start, right?
I think I can just picture Dodd Auditorium really filled
both. And I think that the Tiger Woods may attract a somewhat different audience. I mean, people that are more interested in sports.
Yeah. Which you've had some great sports.
Yeah, we have
ones.
Done. So we've done a lot of the major sports.
I still think in my all time favorite, still a great live series is Secretariat.
Mine too. That's a question I get a lot, and I feel sort of reluctant to tell him that it's a great life is not a human, it's a horse. but Bill Nack died within fairly recently.
Yeah, within the last year or so. But he was so good at doing that.
He was terrific. Now, he's one we did invite back for an encore performance. Yeah. And both times he had the audience, when he would show clips of the Triple Crown races, the audience would cheer as if they didn't know how it was going to come out, and as if they'd never seen it before. And in particular, with regard to Belmont Stakes, which he won by 31 lengths. People are just, and he said that Bill Nack said that he had talked to people. I remember Pete Rozelle, he talked about, he was with Pete Rozelle, I think, watching it that day, and he said he had tears in his eyes. Yeah. I mean, it was really an amazing thing. But anyway, that was one of the best ones.
Yep, that was that definitely was. Tuesday, January 28th, the D-Day Girls.
Yeah, now that's one that might need a little explaining, and unfortunately I can't give you any depth on it particularly, but it's about the women who were active in the Nazi resistance and supplied information to the Allies that helped with the D-Day invasion.
That would be interesting, especially because so much is...
Well, we don't know anything about it. I mean, it's a classic example, and I'm among the men who don't know anything, didn't know anything about that. That's some of the ones that we have that I don't get them just because I can learn about it. I can read the book myself, but the things that if I don't know much about it and it seems interesting, I figure, hey, there may be people out there would also find it interesting.
I think this is a side of D-Day that we don't hear.
I never heard of it.
Whenever the movies or books come out, it's always what we know.
I mean, maybe it's just... ignorance, you know, maybe I should have paid more attention, but I never realized that there was this aspect.
You can't possibly have read all of these.
Oh, no, I haven't.
All through.
No, I would be a fraud to say I have read all these books all the way through. I certainly have not. I kind of have to pick and choose. But what I have read are a lot of reviews of these books. And sometimes you have reviews so extensive that you feel like you got a pretty good handle on what the book is about. But no, I don't have the time to read them all. And some, I'll have to be honest with you, most of them are of interest to me, and I would have had them if it was a private audience of just me. But some, I'm more inclined to do it because I think they deserve to be done, and there's a public out there that would like to hear about them.
Yeah. No, we've talked about that before, and you've been very upfront about that, that some of these, I remember last year there were a couple of them that you said, you know, if it were up to me, I wouldn't have chosen
I wouldn't have chosen them. I can think of several. Sometimes I wish I hadn't, but no, most of the time I'm glad we did.
Bill Crowley here is the William B. Crowley Lecture Series, Great Lives, that we're focusing on, that begins on the 24th. 1st. January 30th, JFK and James Bond.
Exactly, yes.
What?
Now, yeah. Stephen Watts is the author of that book, and it's I think it's called, the title of the book is something like JFK, James Bond, and the Masculine Mystique. And it focuses on how influenced Kennedy was by Ian Fleming's works. And he admired these, the James Bond type figures.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It'd be good to have Steve Watts back. He's a University of Missouri professor. I think this will be his fifth time. And he's a very good speaker. But that's one I'm interested in.
Yeah, no, and again, these like the D-Day girls and this, it shows you a part of history, and of that we never hear about, mm-hmm. And I think that's where this really touches a lot of people. I think that you learn a lot.
Yeah, I think this will be. I'm sure it'll be an interesting lecture.
Tuesday, February 4th, Francis Gary Powers, another very interesting story there.
Well, it is an interesting story. I assume, and many of your listeners are too young to remember the incident that propelled Francis Gary Powers to prominence, but I'm not too young to remember it. And he was the pilot of the U-2 spy plane that was shot down over Russia, mm-hmm. I believe it was in 1960. In fact, I'm almost sure it was the spring of 1960. And Powers, native of Virginian, by the way.
I was going to say, fuck your county, isn't it?
No. I think you're thinking about his son, who's going to be the speaker.
Yes,
the museum.
Okay.
I think he's in Fauquier County.
Yeah.
The spy pilot, which is the name of the book, was from, I think, Grundy or somewhere southwest.
Okay, yeah, it is his son. I've talked to him before.
Right. You've talked to the son?
Yeah.
I actually haven't talked to him. I've corresponded with him, but I haven't talked to him. But that was a very, very controversial issue at the time, he was captured and was held by the Russians for a long time. And then many people may be aware of it more recently because of the film, I think it's called The Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
I think Tom Hanks was
mm-hmm.
in it.
Yep.
I haven't seen
it. Yeah, it's a good movie.
People say it is.
It's worth watching.
And his son is the speaker. I'll tell you something, one of the irons of Francis Gary Powers' life was he went through all that ordeal of being shot down from 80,000 feet or whatever, those planes flying in enormous altitudes, and survived that and was captured and so forth. Came back, was eventually released, and most people don't realize how he died. He became a helicopter traffic reporter out in L.A., and his helicopter crashed and killed him.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a sort of a footnote to it. But anyway, his son, Gary, has established a Cold War museum in an effort to sort of keep alive some of that history of that period.
When it opened, that's when I talked to him, and I've always wanted to go over there and see that. And I would like to because it sounded like he had some interesting things.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but I know that's where it is.
But it's a very interesting story, and it, again, a part of our history back then that was, I mean, those were tense times.
Very tense, very tense.
That will be February 4th. Before we take a break here, one more on February 6th. This will be fun, the Beach Boys.
Yeah. Now, if people like this, they can thank my wife because for years she's a Beach Boys fan and she's a music fan in general. But she says, you got to do the Beach Boys. Well, I resisted it because I guess I didn't think they were perhaps as influential as people like, for example, people that I like a lot less than I like. Personally, less than I like the Beach Boys, like Bob Dylan, for example, whom I don't particularly like, but I think he was influential. So we've done figures like that. But she said, look, these people with that West Coast surfer sound was very influential on pop culture at a certain time. So we're doing it, and I'm really looking forward to the speaker. Peter Ames Carlin is corresponding with him by email considerably extended. He seems to be a very, very Interesting fellow, and he is guaranteed he will be playing some of the music.
Yeah, I was going to say, but then it's just that sound, and it's been
right.
over the years,
right.
just for staying power.
Right.
It is the William B. Crawley Lecture Series, Great Lives, the biographical approaches to history and culture. Bill Crawley in with us this morning. Starts January 21st, goes through April the 14th, and you can go to umw.edu/Great Lives for the whole series. We will continue to run down the list. Great to have Bill Crawley in with us this morning, and we will do that when we come back. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Karina Mitchell.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
Bill Crawley here this morning. The Great Lives Lecture Series, our focus. One of the things, Bill, that I noticed on the list, and I've noticed this in the past with maybe a few, but each of the lectures this year has a sponsor.
Yeah, Ted, that's really an important thing to us because it makes it possible, really, to bring in the caliber of speakers that we have. I don't want to talk too much about, you know, finances, but the fact is it's a fairly, fairly expensive program given the fees that these people can legitimately charge. And the reason we're able to do it is because we have such widespread public support and corporate support. And this is the first year that each individual lecture has a sponsor. But, I mean, there are other costs associated with it. It doesn't necessarily mean that sponsor pays the entire amount for that lecture, but it certainly is the chief amount that allows us to bring them in.
Well, and just the fact that the community can come to these lectures.
That's right, yeah. The community, I hope, appreciates not just the lectures that we put on, but the fact that it's made possible by community people.
When Giving Day was recently done, I was kind of touched by that the supporters of Great Lives gave quite a bit to UMW.
They do, and throughout the semester they continue to contribute. Anyway, you just couldn't do it without that.
We mentioned as we pick up the list here again of the various speakers. Dr. Seuss will be that is Brian J. Jones on February the 11th. That book has gotten, I have not had a chance to read it, but I know that book has gotten a lot of favorable reviews.
Terrific reviews. I haven't seen a bad review of it. I mean, it's just been extremely successful for Brian, and I know how much work he put into it, so I'm glad to see it's been so successful.
Well, and he's kind of, he's done things with the Muppets and Jim Henson. Kind of his thing.
Yeah, he's very much into, I don't know how you would describe it, but I don't want to say offbeat, but I mean, his first one was a biography of Washington Irving, and that was a terrific success.
Yeah.
And but aside from that, he's done a lot of his work in, I guess, pop culture.
Yeah. So that one will be worth putting on the calendar and going to Dr. Seuss on February 11th. February 13th, John Quincy Adams and John Adams.
Yeah, now that's kind of interesting. It's done by a husband and wife team of historians from LSU. We'll be publicizing this as time goes on, but we had to change that from its original date. So if people have the original schedules or printed and so forth, it had that schedule for February 25th. We are going to do it on the 13th. It has to do with travel arrangements and so forth. When they could come, when they couldn't come, they found out they couldn't do it the original date. But we'll try to get that word out. But this is interesting in that I suspect, well, I know that John Adams is the only one of the founders that we haven't done. I guess this shows maybe some Virginia bias or something, but goodness, we've done Washington and Jefferson. In fact, we've done Jefferson several times. recently a new book came out, and I said to my wife, maybe we should do Jefferson again. She said, oh, no, not another Jefferson biography. How much more do we need to know about Jefferson? But so we're not doing
Jefferson. Your wife. We need to have her in this.
Well, you really do. You really do.
She could give a behind-the-scenes look at some of this.
Yeah, she could. And you could get her to talk particularly about the Beach Boys, which is her pet project. But in any case... Of course, John Adams was an extremely influential founder, usually. And John Quincy, even more significant in some ways, not just as president, but as Secretary of State. I think John Quincy Adams is generally regarded as America's preeminent Secretary of State. Really, the Monroe Doctrine was the John Quincy Adams Doctrine.
Okay.
Adams was Monroe's, was Secretary of State. But anyway, that should be a very interesting talk. I've heard them on YouTube, where, of course, you can hear everything. And I think they'll deliver a great lecture.
February 18th is one that I am looking forward to, because I don't know much of his back life before he became what we knew him as. Stephen Hawking on February 18th.
I know very little about him either. Kitty Ferguson, who's going to do that, is... she lives part of the time in England, part of the time in this country. But he, of course, has been in the public view recently, mainly because of a film about him. I regret to say I see so few films, but I haven't. Have you seen the film on Stephen Hawking?
I did not. I did not either.
Yeah. Well, certainly a figure that I think is an interesting one.
Well, just because it's interesting with somebody like him, just the brilliance of his mind.
Right, right.
It so eclipses all the rest of us.
Right, and that he continued to be productive even after he suffered such a debilitating disease.
Yeah, right, yeah. One of the things you mentioned, you can see a lot of this on YouTube. I imagine that there are some of these biographies that you look at, and you look at the topic, and you look at it, and you've read it, and you think this is perfect, but the person may not be a good fit
for our venue, for our audience. Well, that's true. That's why I do try when I can to see to watch them in action, so to speak. And sometimes it disinclines you, and sometimes makes you more eager to have them.
Yeah, I'm sure. So there's a lot goes into putting this schedule together. We are at February 20th now, American Duelists.
Yeah, that's one that probably needs some explanation. I'm not sure I can give you a particularly good one that we think of. Now, Joanne Freeman has spoken here in Fredericksburg. She spoke under the aegis of the James Monroe Museum and the director of that.
Oh, okay. I heard of that name.
I missed that, but Scott Harris, the director of the museum, assures me that she is an absolute first-class, engaging lecturer. She's a Yale professor. And, of course, her book is called Field of Blood. And it talks about, of course, when you think of American duelists, I think everybody thinks, first of all, of the Hamilton Burr. But she talks about many other, leading up to the Civil War, when tensions were so high between the sections, that dueling was quite common, even though it was outlawed.
Yeah.
They still did it. I'm looking forward to it, mainly because I know she is such an engaging speaker.
I look forward to that because you're right. That's something that we don't hear a lot about, but it did play a big role in politics.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So that'll be interesting. That is a February 20th. February 27th, Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
Have you done Frederick Douglass before?
We actually did do Frederick Douglass.
I thought so.
Yes, but it was years ago.
Yeah.
And one of our own really outstanding history faculty, Jeff McClurkin, he's now chief of staff at the administration at the university, but he was a history professor, and he did Frederick Douglass for us. Now, David Blight, the speaker this year.
That name is really familiar.
Well, I'll tell you, it may be familiar because he's probably our most prestigious speaker currently. He's the recipient of this year's Pulitzer.
For the
biography that he wrote of Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
Again, I've never met him personally, but people who have say he's a delightful person. And, you know, if you win the Pulitzer in history, as many books as are published each year in history, that's quite an accomplishment.
So that will be February 27th.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
You could probably win some wagers on this one, because not many people would think of him. But Blight says early on in this book, maybe in the preface probably, that Frederick Douglass was the most photographed man in the 19th century. Now, I bet if I started today to say, I got a question for you, see if you can look at this list and tell me that, but there's so few 19th century figures.
Yeah.
But it'd have to be somebody who, first of all, he didn't have photography in the early part of the century. So
right.
It's got to be somebody after that. Now, you might say Lincoln, but then Lincoln didn't live very long into the age of photography.
Yeah.
But Douglass lived through the whole, he lived in the 20th century.
Yeah.
So he was, according to Blight, most photographed man of the century.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, I do think of pictures. I have seen a lot of them.
You see a lot of them. And he does say, Blight does, I think, make the case that he may have been one of the very most influential people in American history.
February 27th, Frederick Douglass. March the 10th will be Female Internet Inventors.
Yeah, now that's one I dare say nobody's heard much about. Certainly had. I still can't tell you very much. Clary Evans, though, the speaker, is certainly an interesting figure. Writing biographies, writing history at all is not her day job. Although she did accounts of all reviewers, this is a very, very good book. But she is a lead singer in a small band called Yacht, I think, just like the boat, the yacht.
Okay.
And I've looked at her on on YouTube as well, and then she's a Brit by birth, lives on the West Coast now, but she should be an interesting speaker, as she seems to be, we talked about D-Day and not knowing about the women behind that. What do you think about the Internet, the pioneers of the Internet? You think about any women? No.
Mm-mm. No.
So this will maybe correct that.
March 12th, again, I think this will be another one of the ones that fills Dot Auditorium, just because there's a lot of interest and a lot of people have read the works of C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, I agree. I think that will have a nice turnout for that. Devin Brown, the speaker, is a known quantity because he spoke last year on C.S. Lewis's close friend, J.R.R. Tolkien.
That's right. That name looked familiar.
Right. And He was so impressive in his talk on Tolkien. I said, I knew he did a book on Lewis, so I asked him back, and he's coming, so that should be good.
Has anybody ever said to you that they've never missed a great live?
No, nobody's ever said that. I've even missed one or two, not many, but that would be look, I mean, it's been going over 17 years.
17 years.
Somebody's bound to be sick sometime, out of town or something, even if they want to go. But we have regular audio, devoted fans, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Well, you learn a lot.
Yeah, you do learn a lot.
You can't help but learn about really history, and that's what this is all about.
Sounded continued my education.
Bill Crowley here. The Great Lives Lecture Series is our focus, January 21st through April 14th. It is free. The lectures start at 7:30 at Dot Auditorium, and it is I can look down this list and usually pick out at least a half a dozen or more that you want to go to. And if you want to find out more and see this list, umw.edu/greatlives. We'll wrap it up with Bill Crowley when we come back. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lecture series is our focus. We're going to wrap it up here. Bill, I'm sorry that we have to talk about wrapping this up, because you and I, we have a good time just going through and talking about it.
Yeah, I love talking about great lives.
I remember a few years ago I said to you, I gave you a few names of people that I was interested in and was surprised that you had never done. And I remember you saying to me, I'd love to do those. The problem is, There's not a current book out on it.
Yeah, that happens. There are a lot that fall into that category.
So if you see things here, you don't see things, and you keep waiting. There's a number of reasons.
I can tell you what I'm waiting to do. And again, this is a person not necessarily be considered an admirable, but definitely influential. But I can't find a. Well, I shouldn't say that. Things have been written, but I can't find what I think is an appropriate biography of J. Edgar Hoover, and I know there's one coming because I know a Yale historian is working on that, but it's not out yet. And there's another one. There's a biography of John Steinbeck that's on the way.
Okay.
Not yet.
But those would be two good ones. Yeah. Wrapping up here, on March 19th, America's Notorious Pirates.
Yeah, this book, I've just skimmed it and read reviews of it, so I'm not expert on it by any means, but I do know that Eric J. Dolan is a very engaging writer, and I do know that this book, shall we say, de-glamorizes pirates. If pirates have any glamour for you, he paints a very different picture. They were not a pretty rough bunch.
Yeah. March 24th, here's an example. Yeah. When you talk about great lives, Karl Marx.
Yes. Now, I think that, first of all, he certainly falls into my category of lives that I certainly wouldn't consider great in the sense of good. But who could deny the impact?
Yeah.
Now, I think that he is probably the most influential person in at least modern history.
I would say you're right.
That we've not done.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing him. And I know there'll be people, I guarantee somebody's going to say to me, I don't see how in the world you can do Karl Marx. Well, look at what has happened in the 20th century.
Yep.
On account of his philosophy.
It's not always good.
That's right.
But he certainly fits into that.
I tell people, if you don't believe that this series is diverse and eclectic, any series that includes Ronald Reagan and Karl Marx runs a pretty big gamut.
Very much so. Tuesday, March 31st, Hedy Lamarr. I'm not even going to pretend I know who that is.
Oh, you're too young, Ted. If you were my age, you would know. Even I'm almost too young to remember. I don't remember her when she was in her heyday. But what an interesting figure. Now, this was something that several people have brought up to me over the years that I was unaware of. If you do know anything about Hedy Lamarr like me, I just remember her as a sort of, by the time I knew anything about movies, a sort of faded movie star, actress, beautiful. In fact, the title of the book by the guy who's going to speak, or the title of his beautiful,
okay,
The Life of Hedy Lamarr. And she was a Hollywood actress. And indeed, regarded as exceedingly beautiful woman. But that's not the whole story. And I wouldn't have her if that was the whole story. The rest of the story is that, unknown to virtually anyone, she was a very prominent scientist or a technical innovator.
Yeah.
Came up with the, don't ask me to go beyond what I'm going to tell you because all I know, but she came up with the technology that is apparently essential to things today like GPS systems.
Okay.
And did did this in the 1940s, but it was at the time, it had to do with, oh, gosh, I can't remember what her original purpose was to try to come up with something, but it wasn't used in World War II. And in fact, it wasn't even known until, I think, the 1960s. It came up, he said, hey, you know, this technology really would be useful, and it was, and is. So that's this part of the story that makes an interesting story about Hedy Lamarr. And I really think it's going to be one of the best ones. The speaker appears to be a very able person.
Interesting. Okay, never judge a lecture by the name,
Right. Oh, by the way, you remember when you see Blazing Saddles?
Yeah.
Remember there was a character, his name was Hedy Lamarr?
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was a takeoff on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. April 2nd, Sandra Day O'Connor, first woman on the Supreme Court.
Exactly. And by Evan Thomas, who's been here.
Yeah, he's been here before, a number of times.
I think maybe this would be his fourth time here. Now, he's always is quite good.
Yeah.
And something you might be interested to know about Evan Thomas, and I've known him a long time, but didn't know this. His grandfather was Norman Thomas, the socialist presidential candidate for so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know
I didn't know that.
Neither for a long time, but anyway.
April 7th is Nikita Khrushchev.
Oh, yes.
Again, another one that's...
Well, I remember that goes back to the Francis Gary Powers era,
yeah,
the 50s and 60s. he was a successor, essentially a successor to Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union. And I'm excited about it because Bill Taubman, the speaker, won a Pulitzer for that book. And he spoke here last year on Gorbachev, and I can attest that Bill Taubman is a first-rate lecturer.
And the series wraps up with on April the 14th, Tuesday, April 14th, Pioneer Female Aviators.
Yeah. That's, again, I can't tell you too much about that one either. The book is about the women who were pilots in these aerial contests. You know, at one time, there was a lot of interest in racing planes.
Yep.
And that's the book is about the women who did that.
Well, it's every year we say it, but you outdid yourself this time.
Well,
again, really a great, with the help of your wife and the Beach Boys.
Yeah, give her some credit for that.
But again, this is Tuesdays and Thursdays, starts January 21st through April the 14th. Go to umw.edu/greatlives to find the list. The William B. Crawley Lecture Series, Great Lives. This is a great thing to be known by, Bill, because you have really continue just to deliver and to just really enrich our community.
Well, thanks, Ted, and of course, a lot of credit to you for helping us get the word out and to all our sponsors, and we're so happy to be able to participate in the community with this program, and I'm grateful to you for having me on.
We talk about it every year, and I look forward to doing this. As fast as this last year
went.
It goes
by fast.
And I can't wait to see
thanks
the
for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.